cancer past, penetrating in perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 years of thoughtless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I've been talking this past week about offering up. I've been talking about Sangha, the process of spiritual conversion. That is centered around the act of Sangha, sincere contrition for wrongdoing, I've been talking about the sometimes hard to endure pressure washer of the eternal that reveals layers of greed, hate, and delusion and the associated painfulness. I've been talking about the way in which our spiritual need rises in the process of meditative offering up, rises to the help of the eternal, and the way in which the need is enlightened through the compassion and wisdom of the eternal. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, running across one definition of the term Sangha. I don't remember where I encountered this, but it's probably in a dictionary of Buddhist terms. Anyway, this gave a very interesting definition. It said, Sangha means strewing flowers before the Buddha. Now, I don't know if this is a literal translation or not, but it's certainly totally in the spirit of what Sangha truly is, strewing flowers before the Buddha. But think for a moment, we don't tend to think of those flowers as being very pleasant flowers. And you wouldn't think it would be a very pleasant offering to make to the Buddha. Think about, you know, our aspects of greed, hate, and delusion that we offer up, they're not pretty. And we're often very ashamed of them. Yet I think the understanding of this process as strewing flowers before the Buddha, offering flowers to the Buddha, is a very, very good and apt understanding. Who are we to judge the value of anything that we offer up? Who are we to project onto the eternal our own shame and guilt associated with any particular thing that we offer up? Infinite compassion does not know how to despise, condemn, retaliate. Infinite wisdom is profoundly pragmatic and knows the way in which, or the ways in which, that which has been offered up can be put to use for the benefit of being. If we look closely at our own experience, we can see how this works. We can see some of the ways in which it works. In actual fact, it works at such complex ways on such a minute scale and on such a vast scale that we can only ever see the very tip of the iceberg. But I will point out one or two things here in this little talk. Consider for a moment who or what in the end is the very best teacher about the meaning and value of the precepts and the importance of understanding the workings of the law of karma and rebirth. Who is the best teacher of this? What is the best teacher of it? We only have to think for a moment about particular things that we have done that we have regretted deeply, that we have come to see as being a breakage of a precept, and to think in detail about the suffering that came sometimes, as I have said in the course of these talks, sometimes from a petty act in which we broke a precept in a very conscious way, and the way in which that leaves a kind of karmic stench and pain that we have to deal with for years thereafter. The very best teacher about the precept is our own experience. And if all of our experience was that we always got it right, we never made a mistake, we would be totally ignorant of the precepts. If there is not delusion, there is nothing that can be enlightened. If there is not ignorance, there is nothing that can be converted to wisdom. Actions that we have done that have been influenced by greed, hate, and delusion become our teachers. And the memory of them pops up now and then as a reminder. Remember what it was like when you tried that before. Don't do it now. The Eternal uses all things for good. Note also that if we sink into self-recrimination, if we wallow in guilt, while we're doing that, we're not actually learning the lesson because we're occupied with how bad we think we are and how we've failed or think we have failed. We're not simply just seeing cause and effect. The consequence of such and such an act done with such and such an attitude is this consequent, and this consequence is teaching us about the real meaning of that act that we did, not the meaning that at the time we wanted there to be. There are other ways in which the Eternal makes use of the raw stuff of suffering that we offer up that is much more mysterious and much harder to understand with our intellect. In the end, how is it that greed is converted into generosity, hatred into sympathy and compassion, pride into humility? Yet this happens. We don't do that making. We don't do that transforming. We sit still, we look up, we offer up, we accept the responsibility for our actions. We train in the precepts, and something miraculous happens within us. A true change of heart, a true enlightening of the darkness. There is no delusion, no act, however horrific, that cannot be grist for the mill in this process of enlightening. There's nothing that the Eternal cannot turn to good. This is a matter of faith. Whether we know it or not, we are trusting this when we sit in meditation.